Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Psychological and life coaching topics with the aim to grow, develop, and maintain skills so that we may be elevated to the very best version of ourselves. I am your host and friend of his, Sierra Renee, and it is my job to love and encourage you like only a friend could, but I also want to educate, challenge, and empower you like your therapist should. And on tonight's show topics, we are talking about real friends. And I actually have one of my real friends on the line with me, and I'm so excited. Sierra, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Yes, I did say Sierra. She is my friend for, like, maybe 20 years. Like, we got, like, decades underneath our belt right now. And we share the same name. We are the same age. We have a child that's the same age. Our parents and our siblings are, like, the same age. It's just
weird.
It's a lot. It's a little weird, actually. But she is definitely my real friend, and we are going to be discussing real friendships and some looking at some different examples that we have in the Bible and some different things that we deal with in real life involving friendships. But before we go any further, as always, I want to take a moment to honor our Lord and Savior, so I'm going to invite you guys to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for just being such an awesome and mighty God. Lord, we just reverence you, and we totally are just in awe and so appreciative of all that you have been to us. God, right now, we just ask that if there be anything in our thought, word, or deed that requires purification, if you would just do that for us, God. We ask that you forgive us of all of our sins as we endeavor to draw closer and closer unto you. God, we want to thank you for the wonderful gift of friendship that you have given to us, God. We want to take in a look at what friendships look like according to your biblical purpose and how we can handle some of our friendships that we have here on earth, God. So I just ask right now that for the listeners that you remove any distractions aside so that they may hear a word that is edifying for them and glorifying to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray and we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So let's talk friendship. Sierra, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself before we go on?
Well, again, I'm Sierra, the other Sierra, and I am a mother of two. I'm a God-fearing woman, and I have had the honor of being Sierra's friend forever, next-door neighbor and everything else, you know, and sister in Christ as well. So that's pretty much me. Yeah.
And she's a business. She's so humble, y'all. Let me brag on my friend real quick, okay? Because she's a businesswoman, okay? She has her own business where she makes these amazing essential oils that I promise you she has an oil for everything. I can say, like, oh, I got a headache. I got an oil for that. Oh, I wanted this. I got an oil for, like, literally. And she, like, custom makes them and will hand deliver them for you because she just loves what she does. She is an amazing cook also. She's an amazing cook. She will go in the kitchen and pull some stuff out of the cabinet, and you like, wait, how did you create this? I didn't even have no food. She's like, no, I just did this and used this, and I just seasoned that with this. And I'm like, okay. She is definitely my inspiration for learning how to cook, because I was like, you talking about making something out of nothing. I can brag on my friend, and I have actually had the honor of being her friend for it. It's been my honor. She is one of my day one for sure. So I just appreciate you so much, and just being sticking by me and all of my craziness, and being that voice of reason. Being that voice of reason that I needed sometimes, making me stay my butt up in church when I needed to be up in there. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So she is all that, just an amazing, wonderful woman of God, and I'm just so grateful to have her a part of my life. And she's my daughter's godmom, one of her many ones. She got a whole bunch of godmoms. She a blessed little girl. So we were just really grateful for what you've meant to all of us. So we're going to talk about friendship. So I did a little research, and I looked at some definitions. You know, I just went to Google, right? I didn't go all super academic on y'all, but I just went to Google, and I'm going to read a couple definitions of what friendship says. It says a friend can be a person who you know and is with whom you have a bond or a mutual affection, typically exclusively of a sexual or family situation. That's one. One is a person attached to another by feelings or affection or personal regard. Then we have a person who gives assistance or supporter. They getting lower and lower, right? It's like a person who you have a strong liking for and a trust in another person. And then the last one that I found to be funny, because I looked at like Webster and then whatever Google had to say, Merriam and a couple different ones. And then on the last of all of them, it just says like a contact on a person's social media. So I guess like your Facebook friend, like they can be your Facebook friend. So I thought that was interesting, though. You know, at first we had all of these. It was like, okay, a person whom you know and who you trust, and there's a bond and there's mutual affection. And then it gets a little less there. It's like somebody who supports you, somebody you like a lot, and then it's like, yeah, somebody on your social media.
Right.
I'm like, okay. So which one of these do you think Sierra would describe, or if they do work, because if you need to make up your own, that's cool, too. What would you describe?
I was going
like
to say. For me, like, because this new age whole definition of friendship is so, it's changed, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, for me, personally, it's someone there that not just I like, that I love, like a family member, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that is there for me, and I'm there for them. So it's not one-sided. We both are there for each other. We've been through a few things. I don't want to just be able to call you a friend because I saw you. Oh, we like the same movie. You're my friend. No.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We have some of the same interests. Oh, you're my friend. Oh, we work together. That's my friend. We use that word friend, you know, so loosely. And then you realize, like, well, how did she betray me? Or how did she do this? Or how did she do that? And it's like, well, I mean, think about the basis of how you became friends. Like, how did that happen in the first place? So it's like, I don't use friends so loosely. You know, my social media friends are not my friends, someone I can depend on, somebody I can call to, somebody I know I can say, hey, can you pray for me? That's not my friend. That is, that's the internet. I don't know what you call that, but that's just internet stuff. You know what I mean? Or my coworkers may not be actually my friend. That's my associate, you know, someone I associate with, I speak to, my colleague.
Yeah.
But my friend is someone I can depend on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For the hardest times, for the good times, someone that is dear to me.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I like all that you said, because it's so true. We do use the term friend extremely loose. And, you know, I think, like, your Facebook, quote-unquote, friends, they are just what it is, like social media. It's a way that you socialize, but I don't think that they necessarily make it into that friend group. And, you know, interestingly, if you look at Facebook, too, they even have levels of friendship in Facebook. So I could say, like, I could put you in a particular group. So if I want to share something on Facebook, I go into those little settings and be like, I only want to share this with these people who I designate to see. So I could go through my friend list and say, these are the people who I want to see this, like, maybe intimate say I want to share a picture of my daughter, because, you know, some people are protective in that way that they don't want to share photos of family members. But you could choose who you want to share that with. So there's Facebook even recognized that there's levels to this. Okay? There's levels. You can be you can be my friend, but there's levels to this in friendship.
Right.
So I think that's absolutely good. So do you think that friendship is, like, important or even necessary?
Absolutely. God said that we were his friends. So, I mean, God considers friendship something important, then, of course, it has to be, as believers, it has to be important to us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because we can depend on God. We can rely on God. He may not be able to rely on us like that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he has that relationship with us. And if he thinks it's important, then it must be important for me. You know what I mean? It must be important for all of us to have that because, and I hope I ain't jumping too far out there, but not everybody has family like they have. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that they can depend on like that. And so God sometimes supplements that with friendships, you know, God give them friendships to where they're like family, sometimes better than family. You know what I mean? So,
amen. Amen. Yeah, and you know, the thing is, like, with friends, you choose them. Family, you ain't got no.
Absolutely.
You born into that. You don't choose that.
No choice.
You born straight into that. So I agree with you. You know, friendship is absolutely important. We'll talk more about, like, what God says when we flip over into the integration piece. But just like in science and psychology, Aristotle said it this way: in poverty and in other misfortunes in life, true friends are a sure refuge. They keep the young out of mischief. They comfort the old. They comfort and aid the old in their weakness, and they. And it incite those in their prime to a life of noble deeds. So psychology and just social science has long recognized so many benefits of having friendships, because there's a list of an exhaustive list of benefits that it has. It mentioned things like you develop social skills for the emotional support, accountability. They even say it increases your life. It can actually decrease your risk of heart disease just because. To have that community, to have that fellowship and that person that you can actually count on has been a big blessing for you in your life. So there's so much research that will support the benefits of being a good friend or having good friendships in your life. But the world we live in today, Sierra, we know that there's a flip side to that. So where are some good things? We know that there's been some friendships that they have that positive impact you felt like took away some years from your life, right?
Yes, absolutely.
yes. Exactly. So have you ever been hurt by a friend?
Ooh, girl, no. Okay, yes, ma'am. I can say that now. Listen, I've been hurt by a childhood friend. And then, okay, well, I'm going to stick on that part. So I've been hurt by childhood friends where I was friend to them. But I at the time, again, I had that friendship where, oh, we like the same things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I call you friend. Or since I'm one of those loving people, I have a huge heart, and I love to help people. That's just in me. So I was constantly helping this friend. I mean, she was able to come over. You know, she stayed with my family before. Like, we were just so always together. But soon as they got together, got on their feet, she just totally kicked me to the side. Like, you know, you're not here enough for me, you know. And it was like, whoa, I've been there for you, and now you're finally to a good place, and you disregard me completely as a friend. And it truly hurt it because I was truly her friend, and she wasn't mine. She was one of those seasonal people. I was there in that time of her need. And I had to realize that sometimes God places you in people, you know, path to help them. And then they may not return, you know, the favor. It's a scripture about that, but I ain't going to go there. But, you know, I had to realize you're going to love people that don't love you. You know, you're going to help people who won't help you. So it was a hard lesson. It was definitely a hard lesson.
I know. I can only imagine, just because growing up with a person and and really being there and really loving and caring for that person to not have that reciprocated, that is that level of betrayal, it cuts really deep. And I actually, you know, I talk to people all the time who've experienced that level in my own practice, and the advice that I give to them is because, you know, we can't really figure out what happened with that person. But this kind of connects to when we said we throw that term friendship around loosely. We will label somebody. So I challenge people to say, like, did you mislabel that? And if, like you said, when you look back and you think, like, hey, I was the one that was doing this, that, and the other. They did take, and that's not a mutually beneficial friendship. So no. You really can't be mad at a person because they got from you what they had. And you had an expectation because you labeled them friends. You labeled them friends, so you were expecting something in return from them. But if you really was honest with the situation, they were not your friend because that reciprocity didn't exist. And, you know, when I say stuff to people, say that to people, they like, uh-huh, you right. It's actually kind of free. It's kind of freeing, though. It's pretty freeing because you like, you know what? I can't even get mad at them. Like, I don't want to use that analogy. That was pretty bad. You can't expect a dog not to bark.
Come on.
It's like, it's a dog. You have to recognize
what it is. Dog, first off. Yeah.
Exactly.
You got to recognize.
So you can't go around calling a dog a horse and get mad at it when it barks. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
No. That's your fault. You can't do that.
What happened to Nay?
Exactly. And it's like, that's not even in me. So, okay, we're running close to our time. So I challenge people in that way, like, did you mislabel it? So I want to take a look at, we're getting to our integration piece, and I want to take a look at a famous friendship in the Bible, David and Jonathan. They give us some great examples on what friends look like. So quick little backstory. David met Jonathan when he was invited to the king at the time's house, Saul, which Jonathan, that was David's dad. So he invited him there because of his accomplishments, you know, that whole slaying the Goliath thing. And David and Jonathan hit it off instantly. They hit it off, like, instantly to the point where they was like, man, this is really good. So can you read for me Samuel 18? What did I tell you? One? Did you have it up? Yeah, read that for me about their meeting.
Would you like King James first? I just want to make sure.
Can you give us an ESV?
Okay, now that's my stuff. I just want to make sure. Okay. So, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor and his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. So that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they were coming home, when David returned from striking down the Philistines, the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabarines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. That was verse 6. So, unless you want to go to verse 7 because it shows something else.
No, that's right. That's cool. So as the story keeps going on, it kind of talks about how, you know, they were still in really good friendship with each other. But for some reason, you know, we ain't getting all up into that. Saul got so jealous of David, and he had it out for him. He wanted a problem. He had a problem. And Jonathan was like, no, man, that's not. We're knit together. The Bible says they were knit together. That's like a divine friendship. That's like that connection. And I know we've kind of had that experience with somebody where you just click. It's like, oh, this fits.
Yeah.
This is right. That's what that means when they said they were knit to each other. And they made a commitment. Like, he tore his robe and things. Back then, that was, like, culturally them making a commitment to one another,
yeah.
that they, you're like, we're going to stick this thing out. You know how we kind of, I think today, well, we'll do something like pinky swear, or we'll do something crazy, like sit in the same area or something like that, like when we want to make a bond or connection with each other, whatever crazy thing we may do. But they made a commitment to one another. And then as the story keeps going, Jonathan's dad had it out for him, but Jonathan was like, no, this is my boy. I can't let this happen. And he even came, did some things that put him at risk, as a matter of fact,
yeah.
because that was his
yeah.
dad. He put himself at risk to try to look out for David. But it was because he was knit together and he knew the connection with God that David had also. So Jonathan was like, you know what, this is something that is beyond me, one, and I'm going to stick this thing out. So a couple things I want to pull out as far as like what real friendships look like. Real friendships require a real commitment. So David and Jonathan, they had some ceremonial things that happened in their culture. But today, what do you think that can kind of what would that look like with our culture right now? We got to go quick. We got 10 minutes. We're going to make this happen, though.
Okay.
Like, how do you think you make that commitment right now culturally to a friend?
Ooh, to a friend now. Because, see, Jonathan gave David all that he had, everything he had on him. As they say, I'll give you the clothes off my back. If my friend needs anything, if it's monetary gifts, he needs money, you know, my friend needs gas, my friend needs something at home, my friend needs a place to stay, whatever. I will meet that need because of the love I have for my friend. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I will never let my friend go without. I would never let my friend get hindered, no matter if it's a family member, because Saul was after him. His own father was after David. So I will protect my friend, even from my closest family member, my father.
Yes.
It is the protection. So I will protect my friend from family. Now, I'm going to say this real quick, and I'll jump off of it. It was a quick situation that happened with a young lady who raped her best friend. She didn't help her. She didn't help her. You see what I'm saying? And that's her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are a true friend, I don't care if it's my uncle, aunt, whoever, cousin, whatever, I'm going to protect my friend. I'm not going to let anyone come, you know, harm her or harm him. So that was just quick, you know. Now, the protection, the love, and the gifts, whatever it takes to protect that friendship.
Yep, and that commitment means commitment. Thank you. Commitment means it don't stop. So even if I kind of fall, if I fell off some kind of way, some way, shape, or form, that means we still can come back to each other. If we get into an argument, we committed to that, so we repairing this relationship. So that's what that would look like today. In addition to everything that you said, I agree with, but that commitment, sticking to it, loyalty, that's what real friendships look like. Another thing, you touched on it briefly when you said with David and Jonathan, he took risks. Because he knew that his father was the king at the time. You're going to set up against the king. Not only is he your daddy, but he the king.
Right.
And you taking risks like that, real friendships would takes risks. And what that translates to today is we sacrifice. We will sacrifice.
Yeah.
Maybe it's sacrificing our time. Maybe it's coming out of my comfort zone. My friend lives in West Bloomfield. If she said I got to come, she need me to come get her, that's out of my comfort zone, but I'm coming, man.
That's right.
So,
in the same.
So, exactly. That's how my comfort zone, but I'm coming because it takes risks to involve to do that. I got to be pushed outside of my comfort zone. Great friendships include God. David and Jonathan knew that this was something that was ordained by God because of how they said they were just knit together. There was a period where they actually didn't speak to each other for a couple years, and when they came back to one another, they renewed that in God. They're like, you know what, you are my brother, and they renewed their friendship in God. And why that's so important is because they both recognized that this was something bigger and deeper than those superficial things. Yeah, we like the same foods. We like the same sports team. We dress the same. We look at the same TV shows. We have common interests. But when it's rooted in God, this is deep.
Yes.
This
that's
is deep. So that means that's the bond. So that means you actually could make me mad, but that don't change the friendship because it's deeper. That means I cannot talk to you for 3 years. But we recognize that this is something that's deeper. I ain't got to talk to my friend every single day, but it's deeper than that. So real relationships include God because it takes it to a level that sustains it. That's the key right there. God will sustain that relationship. So, and then another thing, real friendships reflect real love. Real love. When David found out that Jonathan was died, he lamented. That's like wailing. He lamented. He wept. He was hurt, okay, when he found out about that. I'll never forget when I was going through transitions in my life, my friends was more upset than I was. I had friends crying. I'm like, wait, why are you crying? This happened to me. When you have that real friendship, when you hurt, they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
When you are connected in such a way, that is so important. I'm sorry, guys, if I'm going so fast. I didn't let time. See, this is what happens when real friends get to talking. The time just goes.
We blow an hour.
Yes. So those are some things that I want to challenge you guys to look at in principle. Like, what a real friendship, it requires a real commitment. It requires risk. It should be rooted in God, and it requires real love to be reciprocated, given and reciprocated. And I know for many of us that we can look at our relationships and we're like, man, I don't even have that. I don't have that in some of my friends. And we might not experience that at this point. But I want to take you to this scripture, Sierra, Proverbs 18:24, real quick.
Proverbs 18:24 says, let me go to it, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Jesus, yes.
Amen.
I've been blessed every last one of them that's in my life. But you know what? If they all decided to turn on me, I always know that I have Jesus as my friend.
Hallelujah.
He's my friend.
Okay.
If they all turned on me, and God, don't let that happen because you know I love them. But if they all decided to turn on me, Jesus is somebody that's going to stick to me closer than anyone.
Yes.
And that's a gift that everybody has. So I just want y'all to remember that when you go through those things with friends, look, keep in mind, you got a bestie. You got a day one, like day one, before you was even formed. You got a day one that's for real and that will never do these things. So keep there with them. Jesus said to John that, no longer will I call you servants because the servant doesn't know what his master's business. Instead, we can always have a friend in God because he's, can you go to John 15:15?
I got you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you.
Thank you. That's that little secret. You know how you've got your best friend that you tell your secrets to. God, like, no, all that I heard from the Father, I'm keeping you connected to the Father. I didn't tell you because we cool like that.
Yes.
We cool like that. He's not holding back from you. All that I have from my Father, and that's all the good stuff. You're getting the good information, not the gossip. You're getting the good stuff from him. We cool like that. We connected. And I'm telling you that because he says, you're my friend. You're not a servant.
Yes.
You're my friend.
Yes.
So I want us to know that we always have a friend in God. He has fully made us to be confident that he fulfills every last one of those needs. He is committed. He's loyal. He takes risks. Look at that. He didn't went down on Calvary for you, right? You talking about risking it all. Literally died for you. Literally died for you. It's what's the scripture? No greater love is one than to lay down his life. I paraphrase, right? But y'all know what I'm talking about.
John 15:13. That's it.
There is. He is a friend. Lay down his life.
Mm-hmm.
I want you guys to be encouraged when it comes to friendships. Cherish the ones that you have. And if you are in a place where you don't really think that you've experienced that, know that you do absolutely have a friend in God. Put all of that stock into him. And these earthly relationships that come along the way will just be added bonuses. But find joy in the fact that you have a Father in heaven and Jesus who saved you and a Holy Spirit who loves you so much that he calls you friend. I hope that was helpful to somebody. Thank you so much, Sierra. I'm just trying to get y'all elevated to the very best version of y'allself. Sierra, you got a 30-second prayer in there for us to close us out.
Amen. Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this show tonight, Lord God. I pray that it blessed anyone who heard it, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that your will was done and that you will get all the honor and the glory. I thank you for Sierra, Lord God, for putting the words in her mouth and her mind. I pray that you continually anoint her business and what she's doing for the people, Lord God. And I pray that they appreciate these words today, Heavenly Father. Amen. Thank you. Bless all. Amen.
Amen. You guys know how to find me. I'm on Facebook at Sierra Renee. I'm also under Elevated Counseling and Coaching. I love you guys a lot, and I will talk to you soon. Have a good night.